What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
Listener stories this thing. 25, ooh, our 25th listener stories. That feels wild.
It does. And to think we only do these, well, in the beginning, did we do them once a month in the beginning? I don't remember.
I think we've always kind of done them once a month, but there were definitely like times where we released like a couple extras. Like we definitely haven't been doing them for just 25 months.
Okay.
Because we didn't start them right away, and our podcast is...
True.
Oh, our podcast is 3 years old this year.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe. I don't know, but...
That's what I was saying. I was like, man, we're about to be 3 years into this crazy world of...
That is crazy. Wow, that's...
doom.
That just, like, warmed my heart that we've been doing this for 3 years and have such amazing support from our listeners and... You guys are really the best. Like, we couldn't do this without you. You guys are so awesome, and we love you for listening, for recommending to your friends, for, like, leaving reviews and supporting us and messaging us, and you guys are just awesome, and we appreciate you guys so much.
Yeah, y'all are, like, our besties, especially the ones we, like, talk to and stuff, because, I don't know, I just feel like the camaraderie.
Yeah, camaraderie. I really feel like, whenever somebody... Whenever any of you guys message me, I'm like, I feel like we're friends. Like, we're all just a giant group of friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And time flies when you're having fun. Like, yes, we share terrible, horrible stories, but we do enjoy doing this because even though it's just a small sliver, we feel like we are making a difference by sharing these cases. And like Haley said, we could not do it without y'all. So we appreciate you guys.
Truly.
Yeah.
So with that, before we start getting even more mushy-gushy, I guess it's fair because this is love month. You know, Valentine's Day just passed, but it's still love month. But we have a bunch of listener stories for you guys today. And let's just get into it.
Yeah.
Our first story is from an anonymous listener. So thank you for sending it in. Hello from the UK.
Hello.
I love the UK. I have a nice paranormal story I would like to share. I'll just go ahead and start. When I was 6 years old, my grandma died. She was ill with cancer. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's so sad.
I have a few fond memories of her, but being so young, I don't remember a lot of things. Anyway, my granddad, her husband, came to stay at our house every now and then. One night when he was here, I felt a little sad about my grandma and was missing her not being there. I went to bed as normal and fell asleep. And during the night, I had a very vivid and real feeling dream about my grandma. I remember everything to this day. When I woke up, it was still late in the night. I felt a presence in my room with me and immediately felt like it was my grandma standing there watching me. I didn't move for a few seconds. I didn't feel scared. It felt comforting to know that she was there. I knew it was her coming to me to tell me that every time my granddad visits, she does too.
Oh my gosh. Aww. I'm like tearing up. That's so sweet. I know.
That is so sweet. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. That really warmed my heart.
I know. I have a similar story after my grandfather. I was about 8, though, I think, when my grandfather passed away. But I had like this very, and I may have shared this on the podcast before, but I had this like very vivid dream. I was sleeping on the couch of my grandparents' house, which I never did because I always slept with him because my grandparents slept in separate beds because, you know how old people be doing it.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, honestly, I think they're onto something.
Yeah, right. So I always slept with my grandfather. And then after he passed away, I don't know, it just didn't feel right sleeping with my grandmother yet. So I slept on the couch and I woke in the night. And I guess I was dreaming, but I turned into the kitchen and he was standing there in the kitchen and he just kind of nodded, like a one little nod. Aww. And then I don't remember if I fell back asleep or if he just disappeared or what the case was, but It felt so real. It was kind of like,
it's okay.
Yeah, it felt so real when I was a child. And I remember telling, like, literally everyone I knew about it. And then being like, oh, it was just a dream. But then, like, as I've gotten older and I realize things can happen, you know, I'm not so sure it was just a dream. But, yeah, it was really sweet. And I feel like your grandmother was saying, hey, everything's okay now.
Yeah, so. I definitely think that that was, like, your grandpa being like, yeah, it's okay. I'm here. That's so sweet.
Yeah. Okay, so this next one is from Dana. I hope I'm saying that right. Before you read, it's okay to share my name and where this crime took place. Hello, you strong, intelligent, brave women. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's so sweet.
Like, I know.
Thanks for creating a bingeable, badass podcast that advocates for justice. I truly love your content. Well, we truly love you, and that is so kind of you to say.
Thank you for listening.
Here is my true crime story. On a Saturday night in September 2022, my husband and I drove out of our Lafayette, California apartment complex to grab a beer around 6 p.m. We live in a small, wealthy suburb of San Francisco that is quiet and sleepy, and we rarely hear of crime, with the exception of theft during the holidays. We went for a few beers and returned to our complex around 8 p.m. When we pulled up to the complex gate, we saw that it was wide open and the front of the complex was flooded with multiple police vehicles, a few ambulances, and a fire truck.
That's so scary.
Yeah, that is really scary. Especially because, like, you're like, what? Crime doesn't happen. Like, what's happening right now?
And I feel like, seeing the multiple police vehicles is what would freak me out the most. Because, like, mm-hmm. you know, someone calls 911, even if it's just, like, for an ambulance or something like that, they're, you know, a fire truck and ambulance, and sometimes a police vehicle comes. But
right.
if there were, like, multiple police cars there, I'd be like, okay, what's happening?
Right. This scene is not common, but it happened a few weeks earlier when a resident accidentally left a pot on the stove that caused a fire. That is so terrifying, because living in an apartment, whew, terrifying for that reason. Mm-hmm. We joked that we would need to check out the hot goss on Nextdoor. If you know, you know. So I do know.
Okay. I love the Nextdoor app. I'm, like, always on there looking for what's going on. I yeah. love it.
What's the 411?
And, like, people complain about the stupidest things on there, and I'm like,
oh my gosh,
like, why
you can always tell who has nothing about this? Better to do.
Mm-hmm. But also, thank you for posting about this, because I needed to
laugh at you.
yeah exactly.
We retreated to our apartment and thought nothing more of the scene. The next morning, I woke up to a series of texts from our previous next-door neighbor who had moved to Boston the spring prior. Here is what I learned through several next-door posts. The info from my previous neighbor, by speaking with other current residents, and more recently, through news articles. Okay, that's a lot. A 31-year-old man in our community lived on my side of the complex and developed a relationship with a female resident. Their quote-unquote relationship escalated to a point beyond which was comfortable with the female, so much so that she had to obtain a restraining order against him.
Oh, geez.
That's really scary.
Yeah.
The community had no legal ability to evict him since, see, and that's bullshit. I'm sorry, but if somebody goes to the courthouse, to the police, and gets a restraining order, there should be some kind of law in place. I know that's inconvenient for the other person, but allowing them to live in close proximity to the victim? What?
Yeah, that can't be okay.
No, there has to be some. I mean, obviously there isn't, but, you know, there should be something in place. The community had no legal ability to evict him since their dispute was handled through police. So the leasing office just moved the man to a different building, different unit, and on the other end of the community. I mean, at least they tried, I guess. This new unit was steps away from the leasing office and amenities, including the gym, sauna, pool, hot tub, and barbecue area. While he lived in this newer unit, he allegedly hung dark sheets or curtains with peepholes cut in them so he could watch women and children at the pool. What the fuck?
Oh.
He allegedly would masturbate while he watched.
Oh my God.
I don't even want to know how they figured that out.
No, and how is he allowed to, like, live in a community where there are
vulnerable people? Yeah.
Yeah.
On that Saturday in September of 2022, he targeted a woman and her daughter between 7 and 10 years old. He watched them leave their unit, followed them to their car with knives and a gun, and forced them back into their apartment. The intruder was under the assumption that the woman and her daughter were the only people home, but in fact, her husband and son, also between 7 and 10 years old, were also home. That did not stop this man. The intruder held the family hostage, tying them up and keeping them subdued for about 4 hours. During those 4 hours, the intruder allegedly rambled about his mental health issues, his erratic behavior, that he was not allowed to own a gun, and that the gun he possessed was obtained illegally and nobody knew he had it, etc. Just spilling all of his personal beans to this innocent random family that was just trying to enjoy their weekend. At one point, the husband broke free, jumped up, and attacked the intruder, a loud physical fight ensuing. Other neighbors heard the commotion and approached the apartment where this altercation was happening and jumped in to help. Eventually, the intruder was knocked so hard to the ground, blood streaming from his head, that the husband thought he may have killed the intruder. Somebody called 911. They responded, evaluated the intruder's condition, and took him to the hospital. He survived. The family was also evaluated. Wow. Allegedly, the intruder's mental health issues were actually the reason why he lived in our community in the first place.
Okay.
Supposedly, his parents were either not able to get him into a facility or they had difficulty keeping him in a facility, so they stuck him in an apartment complex to live alone and they just paid his bills. This is all speculation, so I'm not sure how true that is, but given where we live, I wouldn't put it past some of the Bay Area, East Bay families. I am originally from the East Coast. People in the Bay Area are just different. Sometimes my experience. I don't know. I have no point of reference for that, so I will trust you. The intruder was arrested. He went to court and was, quote, charged with kidnapping, false imprisonment by violence, second-degree robbery, first-degree burglary, criminal threats, and child abuse. He was sentenced to a mental health diversion program on September 5th, 2023, with the court's decision that a mental health diversion program would provide more effective treatment for his condition and released him from custody. There was vigorous opposition from the DA's office about this decision. Side note, the gun that he was wielding was fake, which I just learned from an article I found published a few days ago. Interesting. We've heard that.
Oh.
Which I'm glad, because if he had a real gun, he likely would have used it, it sounds like.
Yeah.
On October 24th, 2023, after 13 months in the diversion program, this man escaped the facility. Are you joking?
How?
What the fuck? That's the thing about, like, I feel like, I mean, yes, they are, quote unquote, secured or whatever, but they're, I think, easier to escape from than prison.
And especially, like, these people are smart. They know what they're doing. And mm-hmm. it's, if they are that smart, it's not that hard to figure out how to, like, you know, trick somebody into thinking you're not as, I guess,
capable.
Like, yeah, capable. That's a perfect word of doing something. And so, like, you know, playing up
mm-hmm.
how incapable you are. And then yep. maybe things are, like, loosened a little bit or whatever. And then you can escape.
Which is honestly so sickening and adds a whole new level of, like, I don't even know what to fake being mentally ill.
Yeah.
Or, you know, obviously he's mentally ill, but I'm saying, like, fake it to the point where people maybe, you know, trust you more or think that you're not capable of doing X, Y, Z. And then you definitely are because you're smart and playing the system.
Yeah.
So this man was on the loose for several weeks and was detained in Oakland on November 14th. He remains in custody with no bail. Criminal proceedings will resume on November 29th. My husband and I have since installed cameras in and around our unit and are participating more actively in looking out for our neighbors and reporting suspicious activity. Good. That is, I commend you for that because not many people will do that.
Yeah.
We love our community and our town and will not be the next victims. We are keeping it human. P.S. The convicted man's name is Kenneth David McIsaac, if you want to know more or follow his case. Yeah, so that would have been November 29th.
Absolutely be following.
Yeah, so he's probably already maybe gone to court if he was supposed to go November 29th. So yeah, we'll look into that and see what's going on with that because that is terrifying. And hopefully he is in prison right now. As yeah, he should have probably been from the beginning.
Yeah, that's really, really scary. And I'm glad that you guys are like, okay and safe and are, you know, coming together as a community and like
looking out for each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you for sending that in. That is terrifying. And I'm so glad the family was okay because, gosh, that could have ended so much worse.
So bad. Yeah. Thank you, Dana. All right. Wow. Our next story is from Nudia. Hi, ladies. First, let me tell you how much I enjoy listening to you. I look forward to your new podcast each week and have listened to every one of them.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
After numerous listener stories, I finally feel that I want to share my experiences. I grew up in a religious home, but I always had questions of the things we can't prove, like what happens to your soul after you die and if ghosts exist. I guess I believe that everything is a possibility. Even though my mom was a devout Christian, one night in the recent past, after she and I had a girls' night and drank a lot of wine, she told me about her past life experience in trying to escape the Nazis while scaling a mountainside as a child with her then family.
Oh my gosh. What?
That was Nudia saying that, not me, but also... She was strong, but not relatable, and this random-ass story made her more human to me than ever. Like, oh my gosh, where have you been this whole time? Mm-hmm. I could have used this bit of info when I was questioning life. There was never more to her story, but I loved that her experiences didn't keep her from believing possibilities outside of her religious box. My mom was an incredibly strong and loving woman. Her womanly independence was so admirable that many times I wondered how she ended up with my dad, a good-hearted man but an angry, depressed, and hopeless one who was plagued by the demons and monsters of his childhood. Their relationship was chock full of red flags, but for my mom, their story was a romantic tragedy. Trigger warning for suicide before I get into the next part. I was 12 in August 1996 when my dad died by suicide at home. I'm so sorry.
It is so awful. I'm so sorry.
As an adult, I learned this wasn't his first attempt, but it was definitely his last. Waka waka. It's okay. Dark humor is my therapy. Anyway, my parents could barely afford anything, but they bought a house in Montclair, California, and lived a very frugal life to support me and my two younger sisters. My mom had this beautiful black silk robe she wore all the time. All the time. My sister has it now. After my dad's death, my single mom had to be even more frugal. That meant that AC was not even an option in the dead of summer because we couldn't afford it. And if you know San Bernardino County, you know summers were not kind. That is so true. San Bernardino County is like you're surrounded by mountains. And so it gets so hot.
Is that north or south of LA? California is just so big. It's like, how do you even know? I'm just trying to like visualize it because I've been to like more southern parts of the state, like Bakersfield. My aunt used to live in Bakersfield and it was hot as fuck down there. It's like right outside of the desert.
Yeah. San Bernardino County is like a little bit north, but it's mostly east.
Okay.
So, but you're like in the like valley, in the, yeah,
no air, exactly, permeating.
Mm-hmm. It just all gets trapped. Yeah.
Yeah.
To keep cool, I used to sleep in my parents' bathtub during the summer months. Ooh. Okay, but wait, that is brilliant. Nice.
Yeah. Nice cold tub.
Where I grew up, it like during childhood, it like rarely got hot. So nobody had AC. Now, thanks to, you know, global warming and everything else, it's very hot and more people are installing AC. Like my parents have AC now. But growing up, we didn't have AC. And there was always like 2 weeks out of every year where it would just be so unbearably hot. And we would literally like sleep downstairs. We would go outside and put our feet in the pool at night to like cool off. I wish I would have thought to sleep in a bathtub because that's brilliant.
Yeah.
About a month after my dad had died, I was sleeping in my mom's bathtub and had the window wide open, hoping for a cool breeze to make its way in during the early morning hours. And it did. So much so that I remember feeling cold enough to stir around, feeling for my blanket. All of a sudden, I feel someone gently grabbing the comforter from beneath me and covering my cold shoulders. I opened my eyes just enough to see black. Thinking it to be my mom in her robe, I said thank you and went back to sleep. Mm-hmm. When I finally woke up for the day, I got out of the tub and walked out of the bathroom into my mom's room to see my mom sleeping in bed. I crawled into bed with her and thanked her for putting the covers on me. I asked her how she knew I was cold, and she just stared at me confused. She said she hadn't gotten up since she got in her bed the night before. When I told her what had happened, she just smiled at me like she knew. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't pretend. I know what I saw, and it had to have been my dad. Mm. I wasn't particularly close with him, but I find so much peace in knowing that he was able to show me he cared and loved me as best he could.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that is so incredible and like such a really amazing perspective for you to have too.
Yeah.
So for 27 years, my mom immersed herself in living for her daughters. She should have lived the most amazing life considering all she had gone through, but late last year, 2022, my mom was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I am so sorry. We thought we had at least a year and a half with her, but in May of this year, the cancer took her away. I'm so sorry for your loss. In 2020, she had moved from our childhood home in Camarillo, California, 9 minutes door to door from me to be closer to my kids, her grandbabies. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
We saw her a lot. We hung out a lot. We drank wine together a lot. We'd stare into the sky a lot. The only time Montclair had clear skies was after a rain. In Camarillo, I don't know if it's Camarillo or Camarillo. I should know because I live in California, but I don't know.
I feel like it would be... I don't know. I mean,
I think Camarillo.
Yeah, I think Camarillo is the technical pronunciation, but I'm sure people say Rillo.
Probably. I'm going to go with Camarillo.
Okay.
In Camarillo, the stars twinkled like brilliant gems every night. There would be nights I'd look out the window to see the stars sparkle so bright that I'd call my mom just to look outside and admire the sky along with me. I never stopped looking up. Exactly 1 month after my mom had passed, I was outside staring at the sky and I started crying as I wanted to call her so badly so she could look up with me. I let myself cry and I spoke out loud to her as if she could hear me. I told her how much I missed her, how I wished I could feel her one more time, and that I hoped she knew how much I loved her. I pleaded for her to show me that she could hear me, to let me feel her love. In that instant, I saw the brightest shooting star I have ever seen. It was enormous and it moved slow enough for me to soak up its brilliance. It was so much bigger than any regular star I have ever seen and had a tail that shined a bright magenta color. I said, "Oh, look at that. What a coincidence." But I took it for what the universe was giving me, a love note from my mama.
Okay. Sorry.
I know.
Whew. Really emotional today, so this is just getting me really good.
That is wow. So beautiful. I absolutely love that the universe gave you that. It wasn't many nights after that my 5-year-old daughter and I were outside admiring the night sky. I told her the story of when Grammy gave me one last visit, and she asked if Grammy would visit her too. I said, "I hope so. We can try. Talk to her in the sky and see if she can hear you." So my daughter chatted to this guy as if she was talking to her Grammy, and wouldn't you believe that at that moment we saw a shooting star fly over us.
Oh my gosh.
The fact that you saw two shooting stars too, like, that's not a normal occurrence. No. There's no other explanation for that.
Right.
My daughter and I couldn't believe our eyes. It was your typical shooting star, not a bright one that I had previously seen, but a shooting star nevertheless.
Wow.
I like to think it was my mom saying hi one last time. I miss her so much. I don't know if she'll ever make her presence known to me again, but I keep looking up, hoping she'll say hello. Staring into the universe reminds me that nothing matters except the footprints we leave behind. Kind of crazy that's the message I get from your true crime podcast. I hope this wasn't too long, and I wanted to thank you for spreading kindness. Keep it human. With much affection, Nuria.
Wow. Wow. I'm just like, I can't stop crying, so.
I know.
Sorry.
First of all, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. That was absolutely beautiful. I'm so sorry for all the tragedy your family has been through.
I know.
But I am so happy that your mom was able to show herself, and just wow, thank you for sharing that. And I love that you get, I love that message that nothing matters except the footprints we leave behind. Like, that's
truly so true,
such a good way to live by, and I'm so glad that you're able to bring that together. Thank you for sharing.
Whew. Okay, this next one is from Mackenzie.
Hi, Mackenzie.
Hello, beautiful humans. I have a story about when my dad was blessing a house and my mom was watching my little cousin. I'll start with my dad's experience in the house. He is an ordained minister and received a phone call from my aunt, my mom's sister. She and her husband asked if my dad could come and bless the house. They've experienced so many paranormal activities in their home, and it was beginning to affect their newborn baby. Okay, that's terrifying.
That is so terrifying.
Yeah. Dad went to the house and had them tell him what all was occurring. My aunt and uncle explained to him that the doors were slamming shut in all hours of the day and night. Lights would constantly be turned on and off, and they could hear footsteps on the second floor, giggling children. Had their baby wave and tried talking and reaching for something that isn't there, and have even seen faded silhouettes of human shapes. Ooh. My dad reassured them that he would do all that he could to cleanse the home and exile the bad spirits. He went room by room, praying and oiling each entryway and window. When he got to the dining room, he said that he felt his entire body go numb. From the top of his head to the tips of his toes.
Oh, that gave me chills.
Ugh. He continued to pray and try to escape the room. Eventually, my uncle had to come and drag him out of the room because my dad couldn't move. I've seen that, like, in paranormal shows where, like, they're, like, frozen for whatever reason. As soon as my uncle had him out, my dad got all his feeling back and color came back into his face. He said that in all his years, he has never felt that way. My mom's story is just as freaky. She was watching my baby cousin when all the curtains in the house started to move. They had no fans on, no windows open, and no furnace going. So my mom was like, nuh-uh, ain't no way I'm staying here. She was packing up my baby cousin with her baby bag and car seat. She took her out to the car and went back into the house to grab the last of the things she needed. In the same exact entryway that my dad had a frightening experience, my mom looked to her left to see a silhouette of a Victorian woman behind the curtain. Oh, hell no. Mom ran to the back door to leave when she was stopped with a cold whisper to her ear saying, "Get out."
Oh, I'm getting the worst freaking chills ever.
Needless to say, my aunt and uncle moved out. Thank God they did that. Very shortly after this, and no one ever stepped foot in that house again. I still get the shivers and need to turn my head away every time I drive past that house.
Yeah, I would be the same way.
I myself have had some interesting experience, not with paranormal, but with possible gift I may have. Maybe I'll share those soon. Yes, definitely share those. But thought I'd definitely start with my parents' experiences. Thank you so much for reading. You ladies do an incredible job with the podcast. And I wish you and your families my best. Sending good vibes from Wisco.
Probably keep Wisconsin.
That makes sense.
Didn't put that one together.
Keep up the great work. Wow. Thank you, Mackenzie. That was...
That was scary.
And that was very scary. Freaked out. Yeah.
All I can say is I'm glad I'm not home alone right in this moment, because I would probably need to leave the house because I am very thoroughly freaked out. So thank you for that. All right. Our next story is from another anonymous listener. Hi, girls. You've told one of my stories before, but fortunately or unfortunately, I have more to share. This is one of those unfortunate ones, but it was about 10 years ago now, so I'm ready to share it. It also highlights what a good job the police sometimes do, but I'm going to give a trigger warning for suicide. It's quite short, but here we go. When me and my younger sister were about 12 years old, we're Irish twins, so we're the same age. So we were the same age at the time.
That's so cool.
I always have like thought Irish twins would be so cool to have, and now that I have a child, I'm like,
Hail nope. to the nah. Imagine actual twins.
Yeah, no, couldn't do that either. Seriously. Shout out to Andrea and all the twin moms out there. And you know what? All moms. We're all
moms. That's right. We're all just surviving.
Yeah, we are. Anyway, so they were about 12 years old at the time. We were visiting my dad. It was October at the time, so he took us out to collect conkers. This is a thing in the UK. Okay. Not sure about the US. Okay, no, but I need to know what that is. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Okay.
A traditional children's game in Great Britain and Ireland played using the seeds of horse chestnut trees, according to Wikipedia. We went through a clearing of trees to a riverbank where we could find some more when my dad and I looked down the river at the same time. It was quite dark, so we both did a double take at the same time, and that's when we saw it. The body of a woman floating in the river.
Oh my God.
I screamed in a way I didn't think I could. Then my big sister instincts kicked in and instantly grabbed my younger sister's hand and pulled her away so she wouldn't see her. Oh wow, good God. For you.
I'm stunned.
My dad followed us back out through the clearing where he called the police. I cannot fault their reaction at all. They were there within under a minute. Wow. Had the area cordoned off within two. And a forensic dive team suited and in the river retrieving this woman within 5.
Damn.
They put my sister and I in the police car so we could be away from everything unfolding and took a statement from my dad. They had identified her almost immediately because she had been missing from the area for about a week.
That's so sad.
Sadly, we saw in the local newspaper a few days later that she had unfortunately had been suffering with her mental health and had taken her own life.
Oh my gosh.
Even weirder, we had signs that day that we didn't put together until afterwards. For example, a plant my dad had in his flat for a while just randomly died. Now, we're not religious or churchgoers, but after that, we went to church and lit a candle and said a prayer for this poor lady and her family.
Yeah.
10 years on, and now I'm a paramedic, so I'm very well acquainted with death, mental health, and suicide. However, I still get jumpy around rivers and other bodies of water. I would be the same.
That's, yeah, understandable.
But, you know, like, as terrible as it was, I'm glad that you guys were able to find her. Because who knows, like, how long she might have gone. And also, like, since she was in water, like, she could have, her body could have kept moving. And, yeah.
Or not been as easily identified.
Right. And so she may have never been found. So.
Yeah. Ugh. Sorry you had to see that though at 12.
Yeah. And just as a reminder to everyone, if you're struggling, please reach out. People would rather listen to you talk about what you have going on than a eulogy at your funeral. Please don't make permanent solutions to what could be a temporary problem. Absolutely. There are so many resources out there. I will put some in the show notes so that if you or someone you know needs help, you can access those resources, because there are so many resources and you're not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But wow, thank you so much for sharing that story. I think it's, you know, an important reminder of
absolutely
there is help out there.
Get emotional again, sorry.
Yeah, you guys are hitting us hard with these stories today.
Yeah. And I just randomly picked them, just like I always do. There's no rhyme or reason. I just scan it for, you know, anything that might be troublesome or, you know.
Yeah, but you don't actually, like, fully read them.
No. Okay, this is our final listener story for today, and it is from Skylar. Hey, girl, hey.
Hello, Skylar.
First, I just want to say that I believe y'all do an amazing job with this podcast. Thank you.
You are the best.
Y'all keep me entertained on my daily drives to work and home, as well as my 4-hour trips to see my boyfriend. Aw.
I love that. And that's always when I listen to podcasts in the car. And, like, I used to commute to and from work before the pandemic. And so, like, literally the only thing I would do would be listen to the crime podcast. So it's crazy that people listen to my voice now.
I know.
I'm like, what?
Surreal.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah. I could probably think of a few stories to tell, but I'll only bore you with two.
It's not boring.
No, not at all. One is a close call and the other is kind of spooky. So let's get right into it. I think I was probably around 10 or 11 at the time, as well as my best friend. We were 2 weeks apart, and my sister, who was 2 years younger than us. We went everywhere together. Our moms were best friends as well. That's so cool. That's like the dream. Like, best friends, your kids are best friends, they're the same age. Everything's great.
I wish that you and I lived closer together, Andrea, so our kids could be best friends.
I know, but our little group, because we all, like, we do have kids that are, like, close in age, but, like, we all live, like, at least, what, 1,000 miles from each other.
Literally all live on opposite sides of the country.
Yeah.
Can anybody else relate to us there?
We're the four witches from the craft, northeast, south, and west.
Actually, though.
Yeah. Okay. So enough backstory. Our moms would clean houses together, and they had a friend whose house they cleaned that had a hot tub, and he told them that it would be no problem for us girls to come over and hang out and play in the hot tub. Okay. Hopefully this is not going where I think it's going, but I'm scared.
I don't think so. Okay. But maybe.
This man was well in his 40s. I didn't think much of it because...
Okay, maybe it is going where we think it's going.
Yeah. I didn't think much of it because, you know, who was going to turn down getting into a hot tub? Plus, my mom was okay with it. So, both of our moms had to go clean a house, so they dropped us off at his house for a few hours while they did what they had to do.
Oh.
All of us girls are thinking that this man is just, going to do his own thing while we're there in the hot tub. No, he did not. He gets in the hot tub with us.
Oh, my God.
So, at this point, I'm a little sketched out, but I brush it off.
Oh, my God. Wait, how old are you? Do we
12,
know?
12, I think is what 12, she said.
10 or 11?
Oh, 10 or 11. Yeah, I mean, any of those ages is just gross. Not that you are gross, but that what he's about to do is gross. Well, he starts with my friend and pulls her into his lap to sit. Why, you might ask? Who knows?
Oh, my
God. She manages to get off of him, and then he passes... And then time, and then as time passes, he pulls me into his lap. Sorry, I'm like
so flustered.
Disturbed. Yeah, I'm like
my
disturbed.
God.
I immediately get off and make some kind of excuse for us to go inside. Something in my gut was screaming, "You need to leave." We get out, we go inside, and we run to the bathroom.
The fact that you, at 10 or 11 years old, had that one
intuition,
gut instinct, and then two, like, had the instinct to make up an excuse and, like, go inside, like, good for you.
Right. Whew. We get out and go inside and run to the bathroom. I talked to my friend and she agreed that we needed to call our moms to come get us. My sister didn't really understand what was going on at the time, and I would do anything to protect her. We change, and while we change, we crack the door a little to see where this man was while we made the phone call. Our moms were concerned and told us to hang in there and that they were on their way. So we figured just go out there and act like nothing was wrong. We told him that our moms were on the way to pick us up. He didn't like that we were leaving And he tried to convince us to stay a little while longer. Ugh. I knew then that we needed to go now. Shortly, our moms got there. We told them everything that happened. With us living in a small town, they knew someone at the police station and gave them a call, and we gave them all the information we could about him. Fortunately, we never had to see or hear from that man again.
Okay, wow. Well, that's good. Hopefully, like, the police spoke to him and it spooked him enough to never do that again. But
yeah.
Holy shit, that is so terrifying. I'm so glad that you guys are okay.
I know. That's so scary because, like, obviously your parents knew him well enough to trust him and he had them completely fooled. And that's just a prime example. It's always somebody you know and it's always somebody close by that you trust. I mean, that is like the tale as old as time.
Yeah.
I swear.
Oh, wow.
On to my second story. A little background on this. The house I live in has been a family home since the late 70s, and my uncle lived there as a teenager and young adult. He passed away almost 20 years ago. My mom has always had weird things happen to her in this house after his passing, but she always brushed it off saying that it was her brother, he's not here to bother me. I personally have never had an experience, but both my mom and sister have. Yes, I will hear things in the house, but I ignore it. One day, my sister was home alone on FaceTime with her boyfriend at the time, and the way her bed was in her room, it was right next to the bedroom door. While they were talking, he stops and asks her, "I thought you said you were home alone." She said, "I am. Why?" He tells her that there was someone standing in the doorway.
Oh my God.
Another time, both my mom and sister had seen a black figure walking back and forth on the porch while they were in the yard. Ugh. No. Creepy, right? Last thing I will tell you about the creepy things that have happened in this house is one day, it was just my mom and I there, and we were cleaning the house. I went into my bedroom, and my mom had went into the laundry room. Next thing I know, my mom is yelling my name, so I go to see what's wrong. She asked me where I was the whole time. I told her I was in my bedroom. She tells me she thought she saw me walk into the kitchen and started talking to me. There was no one there. Just the black shadow that she thought was me. Whew. No,
oh,
thank you.
Oh my God.
So sorry for this being long and not the best storytelling. Girl, it was not long and that was great storytelling.
Yeah, seriously. That's so freaky.
I know. I don't normally type this stuff out. It always comes up in gatherings though. If you would like to hear more about the creepy things that have happened over the years in this house, let me know and I'll write in.
Yes, please, please do. I need to know more.
Love, Skylar, and keep it human. Wow.
Thank you for sharing, Skylar.
I am so, so sorry that some creepy asshole did that to you when you were so freaking young, but I'm so proud of you for being so vigilant and like knowing. I mean, you're young and that's probably why he preyed on you, because he knew that you're 10, 11 years old and he thinks that you're dumb because you're a kid, but you knew that that was not right. And I'm so glad for you, like, standing up for yourself and your sister and your friend. Wow.
Yeah, good for you, but wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you everybody for sharing. Those were some very
really good ones, guys.
Wow. Touching stories, and yeah, just thank you guys all for sharing. And we'll have more listener stories next month. If you want to submit your own listener story, you can do so on inhumanpodcast.com or emailing us at inhumanmonsterpod@gmail.com.
Yes. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
You guys are the best. We'll have a brand new episode out later this week. And until then,
keep it human. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.